I would encourage you to turn to John chapter 7. This morning we are going to think about Jesus' statement in John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. The first text we'll look at together is in John chapter 7. And as we work our way from John chapter 7 to John chapter 8 and Jesus' statement concerning Himself, I am the light of the world, we begin this morning by putting the comments of Jesus in these two chapters into their appropriate context. The Hebrew word pronounced Sukkot has to do with a booth or a tent. It was really more of a crude temporary shelter. It pertained to the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Ingathering. And the point of this particular Jewish feast was to celebrate Jehovah's deliverance and protection during the wilderness wanderings, and to rejoice in the completion of all the harvest. During the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a daily ceremony that involved water. Each day, the priest and the people would joyfully make their way to the pool of Siloam. Using a golden pitcher, water was drawn, taken back to the temple, and then it was poured on the altar of burnt offering. The words of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 were then sung. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. This served as a reminder of the water out of the rock in the wilderness, Exodus chapter 17, and as an expression of faith, looking to Jehovah for rain. In John the 7th chapter and in verse 2, we see that the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. On such an occasion, Jesus used the opportunity to extend a wonderful promise. In verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Those who believe in him, verse 38, Jesus says, will have rivers of living water that will flow out of their hearts. In verse 39, the Apostle John explains that the promise concerned the Holy Spirit. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Not only was there an aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles that involved water, but there was also an aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles that involved light. In this seasonal celebration, the people remember that as well as the rain, plenty of sunshine was needed. And so they would thank Jehovah for the sunshine and acknowledge Him as the true light. Psalm 27, verse 1, "Jehovah is my light and my salvation." At the end of the first day of Tabernacles, the worshipers would congregate in the court of women where a great illumination would take place. Four huge golden lamps or candelabras, each with four golden bowls, were filled with oil by four youths of priestly descent, and they used four ladders to climb 75 feet high to light up the city of Jerusalem. The Jewish Mishnah tells us there was not a court in Jerusalem that was not lit up by it. So as we think about all this historical background concerning the Feast of Tabernacles, imagine with me, if you can, as you struggle to, as I do, the city of Jerusalem during this great feast being lit up where everyone could see this great light that was encouraging them to remember the God, the true and living God, Jehovah, who was their light and their salvation. It was in the midst of this, John chapter 8, verse 20,
that Jesus spoke these words as He taught in the temple at the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles. In the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, where the people of Jehovah God, the nation of Israel, were witnessing the city of Jerusalem lit up by these great lights 75 feet high, Jesus of Nazareth walks in there and says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You talk about a bold claim. I mean, it would be one thing to walk into a place and to claim to be the light of the world on any given occasion. But in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, where the people of God had seen this great illumination, for Jesus to come in and to say, in the midst of all of Jerusalem essentially being turned into a giant torch, "I am the light of the world," who does this guy think he is? This prophet from Galilee, prophet in quotes, this son of Joseph and Mary, who does this Jesus think he is? He claimed to be, on this occasion, the light of the world, the very essence of shining, the very essence of making manifest, the very essence of illumination. And as we go back to John chapter 1 and we read John's introduction to the Word who became flesh and who dwelt among us, what we see John explaining to us is that when Jesus is describing Himself here as the light of the world, that what Jesus has in mind, among other things, is the concept of enlightenment. John chapter 1, verse 4, "In Him, in the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend." It did not understand Him. So verse 7, "This man," John, the baptizer, "this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, of the light who would shine and make manifest and bring enlightenment. Verse 9, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." And notice in John chapter 1, verse 9, and in John chapter 8, verse 12, and as we turn our attention to Isaiah 49, verse 6, that the enlightenment that the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us came to give, the enlightenment which Jesus shares with mankind, it's a universal enlightenment. Jesus is not a tribal deity. He did not come to just give light to those who were participating in the Feast of Tabernacles by covenant. He came to give light not only to the Jews, but He came to give light to everyone who would believe in Him. And this was according to God's eternal purpose. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, "Indeed, Jehovah says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. It is too small a thing for you to go into the world just to bring enlightenment to the nation of Israel. Therefore, you are going to give light," verse 6, "to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Who is this Jesus? When we think about where we are in 2014, when we think about where they were in the first century, when we think about the world in which we live and all of the darkness that surrounds us, all of the folks in this world who are not shining, who are not making manifest the things that pertain to the light, when you think about all of the people in the world who need to be enlightened, what do we most desperately need in the midst of all of the darkness that we find ourselves? We need illumination. And the lesson of the hour, my beloved brethren, is that what we need, He is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. In 1 John 1 verse 5, we learn about God, about the nature of God, the essence of God, that God is light. Who is this Jesus? He is the God-man. He is the exact representation, the image of the true and living God. He is the embodiment of the God who is light. I am the light of the world. He is what we need. And when we think about the light of the world in the midst of darkness, what happened? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 5, we see that there were those who did not comprehend Him. They did not take Him eagerly. We see that there are those, according to Jesus, in John the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 19. They did not come to Jesus because their deeds were evil, and they couldn't do what they wanted to do where He was. They couldn't do what they wanted to do with Him because He is light and He dwells in the light. He walks in the light because He is the light. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, excuse me, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so they did not come to Him, verse 20, because everyone practicing evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light because their deeds would be exposed if they came. The light of the world in the midst of the darkness. It is shocking for those of us who do believe to consider the fact that we rejoice in Him, 1 Peter chapter 1, in whom we have not seen. It is incomprehensible for us who do believe to consider that there were those who saw Him in the flesh and did not believe. And yet Jesus speaks to those folks in John 12, verse 36. While you have the light at the end of His ministry during the last week, pleading with them, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Verse 46, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in Me should not abide in darkness. As we think about the person and the work of Jesus this morning, by way of encouragement, to those of us who do believe and to those of us who have not yet named the name of Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, may I encourage you to think about these four things this morning. Wherever you are this morning, the first thing that you need to do in response to this Jesus who claimed to be the light of the world is you need to be enlightened. You need to allow the light of the world that is the man Christ Jesus to enlighten you. That is why He came, according to John chapter 1, verse 9. He is the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And the fact of the matter is, if you want to be enlightened, you have got to allow Him to do that for you. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus will say on His last trip to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I long to bring you to Myself as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. Be willing this morning to come to Him and to allow Him to enlighten you. And this is what it's going to take for you to do it. You've got to come out of the darkness where you are. You've got to want to get out of the darkness. You have got to long to repent of the deeds that you can't do in the light. You have got to long to come out of that so that you can have this relationship with the God who is light, in whom dwells no darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. The call of Christ Jesus, the invitation of Jesus Christ, is for you to come out of where you are. Not to stay there and sort of now adopt this mentality and this mindset of I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. The call is to come out of the darkness. And when we do come out of the darkness, we are conveyed, we are translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We become, as Jesus hoped that we would in John 12, we become sons of light. Be enlightened this morning. Come out of the darkness. 1 John 1 verse 7, walk in the light as He is in the light. Have fellowship with others who believe and who have come out of the darkness and who are now in fellowship with Him, and trust that the blood of Jesus Christ His Son is sufficient, that it's effective in your life to cleanse you of your sins. Jesus came for a number of reasons, not only to enlighten, but to forgive. And there is forgiveness for you. You do not have to be miserable in the darkness. You can come out of it this morning, and you can find forgiveness and hope and love and grace and mercy, and you can go on your way rejoicing in the light. The choice is yours. And number four, when you so choose to do that, when you come out of the darkness into the light that is Christ Jesus, look at the opportunity that He gives us now. Philippians 2 verse 15. This is God's will for your life and my life. That you would become blameless, that you would become harmless, that you would become a child of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, that in the midst of all of this darkness, by His grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father, that we as individual Christians would shine as lights in the world. That is only possible for you and me. Galatians 2:20, if Christ lives in us. And the reason we shine forth as the lights of the world in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation is because the light of the world is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1 verse 27. If you want Christ Jesus to be in you, Galatians 3:26 and 27, then you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've not done that this morning, may I encourage you to be enlightened. Come out of the darkness. Walk in the light. Go on your way shining forth with the light of the world in your heart. Let others see Christ in you to the glory of God the Father. And when that last trumpet sounds and Jesus comes again in all of His glory, we can rejoice at His second coming, because we are indeed, not only by faith but in reality, the sons of light who are going home to dwell in the light of our great God and Father forever and ever. Amen. Won't you respond to the invitation? While we stand and while we sing, we encourage you to come to Jesus.